the first of our speakers, who is Lou.
Well, hello. My name is Lulu and I'm an addict.
Hello.
I was just told today, now, that I'm doing this. So just now I thought of everything and I went through a lot of emotions, but I'm just going to, yeah, tell you what I can and how it was. A big part of my story is a lot of shame and embarrassing. I even thought that I didn't do my addiction properly, and that even that was embarrassing, but I guess that comes with the territory. Okay, so where am I from? As you can hear, I'm not from England. I'm from Switzerland. My mother is Algerian. I grew up there. I don't know how to put it, but let's just, it was a nice at home. I was called Lulu Sunshine. I was always trying to make everybody happy. My mother was an alcoholic, so I was the perfect girl, so to say. And that was the joy and life of my father. And that went well. And at school, it was quite a lot of bullying, but I was a fighter always. I said, when I'm done with you, you're going to like me. And that's the kind of attitude I had. And it was, you know, and I knew that with good grades and being charming and whatever, I can fight it. But I was extremely insecure underneath. And I really wanted so badly to be loved and know where I belong. And that was a search from very early on. I wanted to belong somewhere. And in the town I grew up in, we didn't belong for some reasons. And also with my mother, she was not well. And it was, so I came to England when I was 16. And because I already thought it's too late, I have to hurry up and have to make it, I have to become something somewhere, and then I'd be fine. And so I came to England, and I never drank, I never taken drugs. In this school, it was quite a lot of. It was not easy in the sense of, I was obviously the Euro girl, a lot of people from, they seemed to know each other for a long time. A lot of the kids had done drugs already, and I felt less than in many ways. But being the entertainer and being the funnest, maybe maybe that's how I could get accepted also. But it was. So my using started then really. But it didn't really work, yet it didn't stop me. It made me even more insecure. The first drug I took was acid at a friend's house. And she said, what is it like? I asked her what it's like. She's like weed. And I'm like, a bit stronger. I'm like, okay, no problem. Everybody smokes in Switzerland. And there I was. And then I took all the other drugs to calm down. And that didn't work either, funny that. But it was fine. I had a friend, he was a musician DJ, and I knew him from when I was 14 because I used to have to go away on weekends because my father would like me to be away. And I got very attached. He used to like hug me and say, so nice you're here, and that I'm okay the way I am. And that was, for me, the addiction started there, for that hug. I would have gone to the end of the world, which I did. And he was taking a lot of drugs, but when we were there and the music and the people, it just felt so right. And I felt like I belonged and nobody asked. I had a lot of things with my identity and background that I didn't feel so comfortable in. And there was a lot of shame from my mother's background, from where she came from. And there, for this moment, it felt like everything was all right. And we were one, and my friend was there, and he was happy to see me. So I used to run away, like also from school, but even when I was studying, to see him. and to be part. And that was, I was like, it was my family. And it meant the world to me. And then things got, I was still going to university and everything, and but it became quite a juggling act studying philosophy and raving. But but I managed somehow. So I did that, and then came, you know, ironically or not ironically, a night I wasn't using. I was in Switzerland. There was somebody spiked my drink, and you know the story. And in shock, I went to see my friend. I was still in shock. I was shaking. I was going to the smoking area, trying to climb up the walls because I saw men in the smoking area, and I was in complete shock. But that was my safeguard, and that's where it really took off with me, the using and the defiance. I felt it wasn't fair what had happened to me, and I was told I was an addict. I was like, off, and that's the way I cope. And it became a crutch, more and more. But I didn't like how I was becoming, because I couldn't stop, really. But that's what the thing that connected me with my friend also was, that he couldn't stop either. So that was, in a way, it might sound silly to say that, but it felt like somebody knows what it feels like to be me. And he knew about what had happened. And he was like, just stay here. I was like, why should I continue to live? I won't be able to have a boyfriend. I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to do that. And look at me, I'm a mess. He was like, just come and see me. I play most weekends. So I did. Things got bad once that relationship didn't work. It wasn't romantic in any way. And that's what kept me safe, because I guess I also have commitment issues. So that was a combination I could use and stay together, listen to music, talk about life, and be together, be not alone, but yet not too close. And that was something that felt safe for a long time, but it stopped being safe. It got really dark. You know, it didn't stop, and I would come home and I would look at myself and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? And trying to juggle all these things. And actually, I thought that my drug of choice was helping me to cope with my head and my feelings and also my shame, but it didn't. It made actually things worse, and I became obsessive, and I couldn't stop thinking about things. And I would do really embarrassing things, like talking about what had happened to me at the after hour, where the last thing people want to hear is how you're not doing well, and, you know, stuff like that. And then the shame the next day, and that fun, outgoing Lulu stopped being more like a really sad caricature of myself, you know? And I couldn't keep the act up anymore. And thank you. So I came into recovery because I couldn't keep it up. I mean, the last thing, I destroyed my whole apartment, smashed in anger. I cut myself and was sectioned, and then I didn't stop using. But then I eventually looked at myself and I was like, okay, how much more does it need, Lulu? How much more? Okay. And so I came to meetings. I went to meetings twice a day, and it gave me hope to have people that said, okay, I'm coming back. I mean, I was shaking and crying. And I felt that everything that I've run away from is going to catch me. And I would say often in meetings, it's like, this feeling now, how I feel now, is exactly why I use, you know. But it got better. I'm 6.5 months now. And I go to meetings nearly every day, at least once, actually. And the shame has gone. I wasn't able to walk in the street anymore, and I wasn't able to look people in the eyes because I was so ashamed of my existence. I felt like a waste of space. And now in recovery, you know, it's people even coming here. I remember I was really intimidated at the beginning, you know, and they said, hey, nice to see you. Little things like that, you know, kept coming back. And I try not to think too much, but I just walk rather than think. I go to meetings and I'm working the steps. And I have hope now for my life. I never thought that with everything that went down and all the embarrassments and all the shame, I could ever walk with my head up, held up high. It's not high, but let's say halfway there. And I have hope that I deserve to find a way somehow that I can be at peace with myself and not be a pathetic joke, but I felt I was. A broken, pathetic joke, that's what I felt like. And that has changed now. I have a bit of more self-respect also, and I'm really grateful to be here. And yeah, if you're new, don't listen to your head, go to meetings. And yes, thank you very much for all of you and for letting me be here.
Okay, and we now have some committee announcements.